This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
James, your thoughts on AEW Revolution this past weekend? James, your mic's not on. James boycotted this conversation by turning his mic off. Your audio capture device may not be working.
How about now?
It works beautifully now. Beautifully, beautifully, beautifully. Hammer, it looks like Malik Monk is off the injury report and back for the Sacramento Kings tonight. That feels like a big deal against a New York Knicks team. Coming in here probably with a little bit of desperation to them. And, of course, you're coming off of that tough loss last night against the Clippers.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for the Kings is that most of their starters played 44 minutes or more last night. And so getting a starter back and being able to distribute minutes differently tonight is huge for this team. So, yeah, I mean, anytime you can get one of your stars back, that's a big deal. But also getting him back on the second night of a back-to-back after you went for broke and then came up empty is pretty tremendous.
That's always tough to see you lose that game, but you got the back-to-back, and they went for it in that first game. Wasn't there a game like that earlier this year where they really went for it in that first game? I can't remember. Maybe it was the Warriors game. I thought they might have lost, but maybe it was the Warriors, and then they had Denver the second night. They had the Warriors at home, and they went for broke and won that game, and then they had the crazy at Denver the following night, and they just didn't have any gas. But, they tried to get that one last night and to not come up with the win and then have to play.
That checks out in terms of days.
Yeah.
They beat the Warriors 123-117, lost to the Nuggets 132-123 the next night.
Yeah.
Yep, it is a lot like that. Also, Jake LaRavia is questionable. That's not great for this team. Just because, you know, again, I think what we saw last night against the Clippers was Doug Hughes, Jake LaRavia, just his defensive prowess, his length and athleticism to combat, a pair of big either guards / forwards in Kawhi Leonard and James Harden. The Knicks have the same exact thing tonight with Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. And it would have been nice to have had that extra body to throw at some of these guys tonight.
Yeah, I mean, being down anyone after the game you had last night is tough. The Knicks put up 143 at the Garden back in January against the squad. Again, you know, Jalen Brunson obviously played in that game. He won't be there tonight. But this is a Hammer. This is a physical team that's capable of scoring. I mean, you talk about Mikal Bridges. He had 27 that night. OG Anunoby had 33. Like, that Knicks team was shooting the lights out against Sacramento. Kings owe them a little bit of a receipt. But this is a team that's lost three in a row. And you know, Kings want to get back on track after last night's loss. They want to get back on track after a week and some change of bad play here.
Yeah, it's tough. I think you talked about the two forwards that put up big numbers, but the guy who was really like incredible in that game was Josh Hart, who put up 20 points, 18 rebounds, and 11 assists. This team, this Knicks team, they aren't very deep, but they do have really high-end talent in their starting lineup, and they can come at you in waves with that starting lineup. And you know, if you don't put a body on Josh Hart, he'll destroy you just like the rest of that group. I think this is surprisingly just a really bad matchup team for the Kings, even with Jalen Brunson out, just because, again, you don't have a guard who is known as a rebounder or a guy who, you know, historically puts a body on somebody and boxes them out to defend Hart. You don't have a mobile five in this game. You know, even having Domas would have been really good for this team, but you know, Valanciunas doesn't love going out on the perimeter. And then of course you have the two wings that are just super, super crazy long and athletic and super defensive minded. So this is it's a tough matchup. This isn't, you know, the Knicks have lost three in a row. Jalen Brunson is sort of like the straw that stirs a drink. But that doesn't mean that this team is just like going to lay down and let the Kings walk over them, especially with the Kings playing on the second night of a back-to-back. So it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, they're desperate, like you guys mentioned, and they're trying to salvage what they can from this West Coast trip. And honestly, they probably look at Sacramento as an opportunity. You know, get this Sacramento game and see what you can do as far as turning things around. The game last night, we talked about it a little bit, you know, with Jam, and I know you talked about it on the Insiders, but just difficult. I thought they played really, really good. Really, really good. And that's also what frustrates you the most about that loss, because you can't, I don't think at least, you can point to too many things they did wrong to lose that game. It was just a little bit of an NBA game where, you know, one guy and Zach LaVine, his shot hits the rim and everything and rims out. The other guy, Kawhi Leonard, he takes his shot, hits the rim, and it goes in. And that's the way it goes sometimes. It was a tough loss on a number of different fronts.
Yeah, it's a tough loss, especially in the standings. I mean, the standings are what we're looking at nonstop now. You know, it's not just one game of one that, you know, and you just move on to the next. I mean, with that game, you lost the season series to the Clippers. They moved, you know, a couple of games up on you in the standings. And now you're, you know, kind of in the mix at that 9-10 spot. But at the same time, I thought it was a tremendous game by the Kings. You know, again, you're playing without Monk, you're playing without Sabonis. They were playing without Norm Powell, so they were down at least one player too. But that was just like a back and forth battle. And, you know, the fact that the Kings went up seven with a minute and something left, like 7-point leads in the NBA, they evaporate quickly. Kings made some mistakes. Official made a mistake, I think. But overall, you just
nope. Last 2-minute report said everything was fine, James. No mistakes were made at all last night.
Well, of course, the last 2 minutes, I think people like the officials on the court, they don't make the call on the replay. Those are done in Secaucus. You know, somebody else is looking at the footage and all the angles and everything else. I thought it was a bad call. I'll stand by that. And I think it did take some of the wind out of the sails of the Kings. But, like, look, the Kings still had 6 minutes to win the game after that. And so they didn't. And I think it was a really, really high-quality game. I thought DeMar DeRozan was excellent down the stretch, except for, you know, the hoisting of the three-point shot, which I was just puzzling, the 1-3 that he took before the one that he got fouled on. You know, Jonas Valanciunas had an offensive foul that was super impactful. But again, that was just chemistry with Keegan. I thought he went, Keegan Murray started to take off before Valanciunas was able to set his screen, and it got Valanciunas in a bad spot, and he had an offensive foul. So I think a little bit of it's just continuity and guys learning how to play with each other. But at the same time, like, Keegan Murray was spectacular. Zach LaVine was spectacular. DeMar DeRozan was spectacular. Valanciunas got beat up early by Zubats, and I thought really responded late and ended up with 18 rebounds. I thought there was a lot of good to point to from that game. Even the Laravia minutes I thought were tremendous. And so, you know, sometimes you lose a game, and the problem is you have an accumulation of other games that you've lost that right there just looked like a professional loss. Just like you went in there, two teams battled, one team had the ball last, and they had the ball drop. And I know, you know, it doesn't feel good for anybody, and it's a heartbreaker for the Kings. But at the same time, I don't think they did anything particularly wrong in that game. It's just one of those games that comes down to the wire, and you don't come away with a win.
You mentioned Laravia. You mentioned a handful of guys. I thought Devin Carter was really good yesterday. I thought he actually had some pretty productive minutes over the weekend games against San Antonio and Los Angeles. What was your takeaway from the rookie the last couple of nights?
Yeah, I mean, there are moments where he does crazy things. I know he had the putback dunk, which drew some oohs and ahs. And, you know, again, that's a kid who has a super, super long wingspan. I think he's like 6'2.5" with a 6'9¾" wingspan, something like that. Super long wingspan. And he put up a 42-inch vert at the combine. So that dude can leap. I do think that the more he gets comfortable, like he comes out and he plays really well, but then it's almost like he gets too comfortable and too confident. And then all of a sudden he starts hoisting some crazy stuff. And so there's always going to be like this sort of rein him in moment that you have with him. But I think Doug has gone to Markelle Fultz early. And when Markelle Fultz makes a mistake or does something that is sort of off script, he goes right to Devin Carter. And I think it's been really interesting to sort of see that handoff that he's been doing, you know, where, you know, again, Markelle Fultz is playing 2 or 3 minutes a game. And if it's not really good, he's going to Devin Carter. And like, look, Devin Carter is a member of this team. He's going to be on the roster, you know, barring trade or whatever, for the next 3 or 4 years. And so you hope that he develops. But I think like a lot of these are baby steps. And he needs to keep that in mind. Like he's not going to have the same leash that, say, Malik Monk did when he got to the Kings, just because he doesn't have the NBA experience. So when he starts throwing up some questionable shots, he's probably going to end up on the bench pretty quickly.
And the other thing that I thought about, too, as I watched that game, when you talk about Devin Carter, who I agree with both of you guys, I think he did a really good job in these past two games, is, you know, he's playing a little bit because the guy that probably plays 36 minutes a night isn't there. So we might not see him, you know, when Malik Monk comes back, which is probably tonight. We'll see if he gets some playing time. I think he might have earned some playing time, so he may get a look because of that. But the big reason why he was out there in those situations is because the Kings were just – you know, in a tough situation injury-wise, and we might not see him much moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, like Stephen Brown says in the chat that Fultz still thinks he's a star player sometimes. I'd say the same thing about Devin Carter. Like, there are just some plays where Devin Carter, like, he thinks he's in the G League again, where he's allowed to score, you know, 29 or 30 points, whatever it is that he's putting up every single time he goes to the G League. He just gets a little bit ahead of himself, and it's something that, you know, that Doug will have to deal with as he's bringing him along throughout the rest of the season. And then, you know, whatever happens this summer, it's a player that needs an offseason really bad. Devin is, especially since he had zero offseason last year because of the shoulder injury. So this is going to be a really, really important year for him to, like, sort of settle in and figure out who he is. As far as Markelle Fultz, like, Fultz looks good in certain instances and plays defense, but then all of a sudden he took like a really odd mid-range jump shot in the game against San Antonio on Friday. And I saw, like, super quick, like, oh, that was a weird shot. And Doug pulled him and went straight to Devin Carter. So I think this is like some coaching moments that we're seeing from both these players.
What do you think? Stop leading the witness. Do you think this team is playing legitimately well right now?
Yeah. No, I do. I think they are playing well. Like, we talked about it on the handoff. Like, when you look at the way that they're beating bad teams, right, it's no doubt that they're going to win every single one of those games. We don't have – like, once they get through the All-Star break, they lost to, what, the Warriors coming out of the All-Star break. Since then, it's felt like every game that they have a bad team, that it's a commanding win and that they're getting better, and you can see sort of – the way that they're improving. Even last night's game, I'll tell you, there's a moment where it looked like DeMar DeRozan was going to shoot every shot in the final, 12 minutes of the game. And all of a sudden, Zach LaVine popped back up and hit a three and went to the basket. And he started to put his stamp on the late game. And then we saw Keegan Murray hit a big shot. And so I think they're learning each other. I do think that they're playing extremely well against bad teams. When you play a really good team like Denver, you got beat. You got beat by a team that, in all honesty, is a better team than you are, and a team that's been together longer and knows how to win, right? And then you come back and you handily beat San Antonio Spurs team, in a very emotional night, a very crazy, chaotic night. You took care of business. You had no problems. Now, again, the Clippers, it's a coin flip game. We knew going into that game, the Clippers were favored in that game. They were ahead of the Kings in the standings. They were at home, and you were down two stars. They were down one. And the fact that, you're playing that game and you're playing about as even as you can for not just 48 minutes, but 53 minutes, and it takes a buzzer beater to beat you, that means that you're playing really good basketball. And so how that translates to the last, 19 games of the season, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. There's tonight's game is, for most times, you would say it's a scheduled loss, especially after having to go to overtime last night, get on a plane, get home in the middle of the night while the Knicks were sitting here in Sacramento the whole time. We got, another back-to-back later in the week that's not an easy back-to-back. You got a crazy back-to-back next week that's, three games and four nights that I don't know if they can win any of them. But that doesn't change the fact that, this team is showing you that they're improving and they're growing and that they're getting better together. And, you add in a Malik Monk, you add in a Domas, and maybe they can find some sort of chemistry, and maybe this time away for Monk and Sabonis will help them learn how they fit in better and let them watch a little bit. But also players like Jake LaRavia stepped up, players like Jonas Valanciunas have stepped up, and Keon Ellis has got an opportunity to, again, play 30 something minutes a night. And so how do you put all that together when you get Monk and Domas back? This team does have potential to take a pretty solid leap forward.
There was a question. I was on CBS Sports Sunday last night with Brandon and Jake.
Live?
We had to go live.
I knew why my phone didn't ring.
they already knew the vibes. We had to go live. And there was a question that we didn't get to that they were going to ask me that I'll ask you guys. Is this Zach LaVine's team right now?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Whose is it?
I think I know who it is. I think it's
DeMar DeRozan's team.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's, for better or for worse, for some people, that's the guy that not only is taking the reins of this team, but they look to. I say this all the time. People talk about, tell DeMar, they ain't gonna tell DeMar nothing. That's DeMar's locker room. That's his team. And like I said, I'm not even saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's the cachet he has in that locker room. That's the respect those guys have for DeMar DeRozan. And yeah, even though Zach LaVine's playing out of his mind and he's scoring, he's putting up the numbers, I think at the end of the day, they all defer to DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I mean, DeMar is the one who stepped up and said, no, this is my team now. part of it is because of the injuries, but, I think it's kind of been that struggle all season. And that's okay. He's a very, very good player who has, been there and done that before. And so, sometimes it's better to defer to the guy who's been there. I don't know. I think he's added an interesting dynamic to this entire season.
That Warriors meeting added an interesting dynamic to this season. Because, James, I think that's the starting point where you go back and you look like, okay, they're playing differently. Someone texted me last night, man, it looks like the Sacramento Kings are really playing as a team right now. And they look cohesive. And one thing that I really loved about yesterday's game, Hammer, was DeMar was shooting poorly, got really aggressive, and found a way to get to the line 12 times. Zach LaVine was shooting poorly, so he attacked the basket 11 times. That's a a recognition of what's happening on the floor in that moment and adjusting. That is a live in-game adjustment to something, recognizing, hey, we're not hitting these shots. We've got lanes to the basket. We need to take advantage of these. DeMar finding ways to get fouled over and over again. Of course, he didn't get fouled on the last one, which was most the critical one when his hand and arm got hit because it was marginal.
Clean.
Yeah, last two-minute report said so, as did the review. But like those types of adjustments during the game, Ham, I think that's a big deal. It's a big indicator of how this team really is playing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for me, watching Zach LaVine on the offensive end, like he's tailor-made for this style of offense. And also, I really do think like his relationship on the court with Valanciunas is growing and has been absolutely spectacular. He has a way of using the screen that other players just don't. And he likes to have the screen set and then reset. And then he just kind of floats around until he sees the opening and goes. And then his like reverse layups are spectacular to watch. Like he, you know, he's always been a huge leaper and a guy that hangs in the air, but man, it's so smooth to watch him go to the rim. So like watching him on a nightly basis, you do like form a new appreciation for his offensive game. And I think he's been better on the defensive end than we thought he would be. His recognition on those plays that you're talking about, to me, that's huge, because I feel like a lot of times the Kings in the past, they just forced so many things. And with Zach, it just felt like, again, like the 3-point shot's not falling. He went 0-for-6 to start the game. And then boom, he's at the rim like every single time down the court and no one can stop him. And so like when he hit the late three, it was a huge three to hit late in the game. But you still saw like he has the confidence to shoot the three, but also the recognition to understand that, you know, you're playing 45, 46 minutes, whatever ended up being in that game, and you're not going to have your legs. You're not going to have your shot every single night. And the other thing I found really interesting watching last night's game is how many players on the Kings outside of Zach LaVine thought that they were going to take Kawhi Leonard one-on-one. That was, yeah, it was like, what are we doing here? Like, that's still Kawhi Leonard. He's still one of the great defenders in the game, and he's going to mug you, and he's going to take the ball from you. Do not try to go one-on-one. And slowly, as the game went on, they figured out ways to get away from Kawhi, and that, to me, was another good recognition point for the team, where, they're again, I think they're learning. They're learning each other, and, you know, I kind of wish we would have seen some of these pieces, like, early in the season, if you were going to do this, so they would have a full season to grow and to be the team that they're going to be, and not like 28, 29 games to grow and see who they can be.
Is this, we were having this discussion earlier. Is this team as is, and obviously maybe a rookie or a random vet, but just say they brought everybody back next year and had the same team with the training camp, preseason, half a season under their belt or whatever. Is there a reason to look at this team and think positively about what they could be after what you've seen them able to do in the last 10 games or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to lose pieces no matter what. The roster is going to change. You know, guys like Trey Lyles, a free agent. Jake LaRavia is a free agent. I don't think we will see the same team next season. But I also think that if you did bring everybody back, you're still looking at a team that's like 6-10.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's kind of the feel of this team, and that's okay. You know, like, and if you strike gold and you kind of find yourself, maybe you could be a little bit better than that. But remember, if the Kings are in the play-in, they pretty much aren't going to have their first round draft pick. So you can kind of check that box off and say, hey, no draft pick. Then it's like, how do you improve the roster outside of that? And they have a lot of, you know, like future picks to work with, especially if their pick goes to Atlanta this season. You know, that gives them, I think once we hit July 1st, they'd have 9 first round picks to work with, because they have their own. And then, you know, the extra from San Antonio and the extra from, who's the other one deep in the, I can't remember who the last pick, it's the 2031. Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota. Yeah. So, I don't think we'll have that question from this team, because I do think that there will be like some pretty dramatic changes. But I do like, you know, the pieces that they brought in right now. I think that, you know, again, Valanciunas has just been a wonder. Like, not only has he been able to play alongside Domas a little bit, he's been the great backup with Domas, but then he's been able to start when you need him to. I think Laravia is really, really intriguing. I'd like to see him stick around long term. We'll see how that works out this offseason. But overall, yeah, I think this is an interesting group. But I don't think it'll be the same group we see next year.
We'll come back. There's a couple more players we want to talk about with James Hammond. Of course, we got the Knicks tonight.
And I want to ask you guys a question that heard something, and the antennas went off a little bit. I want to know if the same thing happened with you guys.
Kenny's antennas went off. We'll find out. About what? When D'Lo and Casey return? Someone does. It's on ESPN 1320. So, what's got your antennas up?
Well, congratulations are in order as Luke Louts was named the new head coach at Florida State. I think Sunday. I think that's what happened. And I didn't even realize. I think he's like gone. Like he's gone.
He's gone.
And after the game, Doug Christie was asked about, okay, Luke Louts is gone. Is there any adjustment that needs to be made? Is there something going on? And Doug said, I'm the head coach. Simple. Been doing a lot of things. Been doing a lot since I've been here. I'm the head coach. It's on me. And I just I just thought that was a little surly. So, like I said, I wanted – what did you guys think about that response?
James?
Like, look – You know, when Doug took over, that meant that he was already down a front of the bench coach in himself. And when Luke left, his last game was on Friday. And I think everybody is happy for Luke, but also I think everyone understood that Luke probably wouldn't be back. You know, again, he's part of Mike Brown's staff. And not only is he part of Mike Brown's staff, but he's extremely close to Mike. He's extremely close to De'Aaron Fox. And so a lot of things made sense for him not to be there moving forward. I didn't think that we'd get to a point where he left early, but again, when a job like that comes up, it's okay. Like an NBA head coach is usually okay with you going ahead and taking something like that. For Luke, it's a promotion. He's going to be a head coach at his alma mater. And, you know, not only that, but, you know, Luke, not only he played at Florida State, he also like born and raised in Florida. He met his wife in Florida. They're Floridians. So it's kind of like a going home moment for all of them. They have a lot of family there. And so I think you're kind of A-OK with what's happening, because I don't think Luke would have been back next season with the Kings either way. You know, every NBA head coach gets to make their own coaching staff. That's sort of the rules. And I think for Doug, he'll like assess this summer. But for right now, it's like all hands on deck, and he's going to need more from the guys that are around him. So whether that's, you know, Jim Moran taking more of a role, or it's Juwad Williams, or, you know, just name that guy that has been on the back of the bench, the second row, you know, Leandro Barbosa, like somebody's going to have to step up and take some of the weight off of Doug. And Doug is, you know, still making his own decisions on most of this stuff, because he is working with someone else's coaching staff. And, you know, he's making sure he's crossing all of the T's and dotting all the I's on every single game plan either way. So this is just a, you know, he lost some help, that's for sure. But I think they'll be okay.
Read a little bit deeper into that. It's his staff. Okay, well, that's weird. Assuming Doug is back next year, coaching staff's probably going to look really different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the question. No. Yeah, it's going to, I mean, because I don't imagine Jay's back. Like, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully Barbosa is around, but I imagine the coaching, the bench looks a lot different.
I think it's possible that Jay's back. You know, it just depends on Doug's relationship with everybody. You know, at the end of the day, that's what this is going to come down to. It's like personal relationships. And does Doug have a bunch of assistant coaches out there that he just wants to bring in, that he has a ton of faith in? And, you know, like, I think everyone, the first thing that comes to mind is like, oh, maybe he'll bring Bobby Jackson back. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. You know, Bobby's in Philadelphia on Nick Nurse's staff. But like at the end of the day, like Doug should have the right, like every other coach, to choose his staff. And sometimes that means that everyone's back. Sometimes that means that you clean house. And again, it's with the idea that Doug is the head coach next year, which we don't know. We're going to have to wait and see how that all works out. But yeah, it should be an interesting couple of months here. And it's going to be tough because, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who call Doug, try to call in a favor and say, hey, I'd love to get back into coaching, or I'd love to be an NBA assistant coach and all that stuff. And it's going to be on Doug to say yes or no if this is in fact his coaching staff moving forward.
Did you guys see that clip though, when Doug said that?
Mm-hmm. No, he did. I hear you. No, no, no. Oh, no, no. He absolutely said it with. He said, "I'm the coach." Like, he said it with a straight face. He said it with a stern voice. He said it with he said it in a. It does. I don't effing care. It doesn't matter.
And to me, and I don't want to be an S starter here, but to me, it came off as like I would think in that, hey man, love Luke, man, he's getting a great opportunity.
Mm-mm.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it came out. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it just came off like he said, I've been doing a lot around here, so okay, I'm fine. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, it's his responsibility, and he understands that, you know, you can look over and say, I have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator, if the offense isn't working and you lose games, it doesn't matter who the offense coordinator is. It's you losing games. If the defensive coordinator doesn't come up with the right scheme and you're not winning games, then it's going to be you that gets blamed for that. And so, like, that's what you have to be. You have to, like, you don't want to micromanage everything, and you want as much help as possible. But I think resetting the coaching staff at the end of the year and allowing Doug to build a staff of people that he trusts, just the same way that Mike had his people that he trusted, that's going to be a big deal. It's going to be, you know, something that takes time. And I hope that Doug interviews people, but, and, you know, keeps the door open for a lot of different types of coaches. But, you know, again, it's not easy. Those are people that you're going to war with every single night, and all of them are on a staff, but only one of them has a win loss record. And so it's a tough thing. And I know that, Doug had, you know, scouting report on, for the last couple of years, he did a ton of the scouting reports for Mike Brown's, you know, team and his coaching staff. And, you know, you're going to go out there and you're going to do the best job possible because you want that coach to succeed, because you know that blowing it up could mean bad things. But at this point, like, it should be Doug's decision to add and subtract and do all that stuff.
Luke Lout's a good coach too. I think he's going to do really well at Florida State.
I think so too.
You hate coaches. That's high praise.
Doug Christie's doing a great job.
Doug Christie is doing a great job. We got 20-12 now.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
You brought him up earlier as we shift from the coaches back to the players. Keegan Murray playing really well. His stretch of playing well is actually getting pretty long. What is it with you, or what is it that you see with Keegan that's looked different, if anything, in the last handful of, I think we can say, weeks at this point?
Actually, it's been a long time. If you guys remember, he missed two games. He had some sort of small injury, and I can't remember what it was. He missed two games. What's that?
Was it the ankle? Was it an?
Oh, he did. He had a sore ankle.
Yeah.
Like, they never gave us, like, you remember he had jammed his foot mm-hmm. in a game, and then all of a sudden he had That's a right. sore ankle.
Yeah.
And the two games leading to that were both single digits scoring games. He took a couple of days off, and he shot, I think it's like 39% from three since that moment. Mm. And so we're talking like 28 games where he's really, really shooting the ball well. And that's a good thing. I think what we're seeing right now is not only is he getting more of a seat at the table on the offensive side of the ball, and a little bit of that is because Domas and Malik have been out and they're just more shots. I also think that what he's been able to do defensively is just bonkers. So I thought last night was one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen from him. And the way that he handled Kawhi Leonard that entire game until we got to the very end. And even that last play, I thought his defense was solid on Kawhi Leonard. It just, you know, the ball dropped. But, you know, he is really becoming an elite defender. And I feel like he's getting more and more of an opportunity on the offensive end. And he's even in transition. He keeps doing the drop the shoulder, clear space move, which I think is spectacular because he's bulked up. And I've said this to you guys before. I think the best case scenario for the Kings is a world in which you come back next season and somehow Keegan Murray is your starting small forward.
Hmm.
That means that you added the depth, you changed the roster, you did the things that you needed to do, because I think it's easier to go out and defend everybody, defend the perimeter, do all the dirty work that he's asked to do from the small forward position. I know their forward positions are somewhat interchangeable, but I just think that that's his natural position. I'd like to see him have a little bit more success and have a little bit bigger player playing next to him at the four, so he's allowed to be a little more versatile. But yeah, I think he's growing in front of our eyes. He's becoming the player that a lot of us were hoping that he would become. It just might not be the 18 to 20 point game performance, but it's probably more like the 15 to 16 point per game performer that we saw, you know, last season before.
Yeah, I love the way he's been playing. He has been hooping as of late, and I know on that defensive side, that's one thing that I've really looked at. They've gotten to the point where they're not, and I didn't necessarily blame him for this. It just wasn't his bag, and they were asking him to. You know, this is a guy that can guard 1 through 4. Like, no, he can't. He can guard 3s, he can guard 4s. And like a 2 like James Harden, who's a little slower, a little bigger at this point in his career, those are the guys that he can guard. And they've seemed to kind of simplify some things. And having a Jake LaRavia there, having a Keon Ellis there has probably helped with that as well. But they're allowing him to be more in his comfort zone as far as the type of player that he guards. And against a Harden or a Kawhi Leonard, he can I don't want to be disrespectful and say lock them up, but he can make life real difficult for guys like that on a night-to-night basis, and they're allowing him to just stay in that kind of area of player that they're taking care of. And he's answered the bell on that end, and then he's picked up his shooting in a major way and his aggressiveness on the offensive end. He's been playing really well.
Yeah, I think he's on the brink of, again, becoming the player we saw last season, you know, offensively. Defensively, I just think he just keeps improving, and he's been really good. And your point that Keon Ellis saying, I think that matters. You know, having a second defender that's playing major minutes, having a guy like Jake LaRavia where all of a sudden the Kings are switchable at the forward position, because those are really the only two that are switchable. You can't expect, you know, even last night, the way that LaRavia was on James Harden and Keegan had Kawhi, and then there are times where they got stuck on switches, but those two were always on those two players, and that's a really good thing. That's a good problem to have, especially I think they tried to throw Keon on James Harden, and James Harden just bodied him all the way to the basket again and again. And that's not a knock on Keon. It's just a reality that dude weighs like 100. Keon weighs like 165 pounds, maybe 170. And James Harden weighs like 230. And there's just no way for Keon to stay in front of a player like that.
Keon, we see his minutes drop off. Do you think, guesses, maybe Markelle Fultz kind of falls out of the little mini spot that he had here with Malik back?
Yeah, I mean, I think him, like you might still go to somebody for 3 to 4 minutes in the first half, 3 to 4 minutes, maybe in the second half. But I think that whatever that position was, it's going down to like 6 to 8 minutes a game once Malik is back. And we have to make sure that Malik is back and in full, like, I don't know, he has a toe injury. And so that can be a problem. Like, does he still have the same, you know, sort of burst of speed? Can he still get off the ground the same way over the next couple of weeks? Or is that toe just going to be problematic? So maybe it's possible that he will, you know, have to have his minutes tailored a little bit to that. But we're not hearing any of that yet, especially with him being cleared for contact this weekend and then cleared to play tonight.
Yeah. Speaking of the injuries, with Domantas Sabonis, I know what the official word is saying, but you talk to people, James. You're there. Oh, speaking of courtside, James Hamm. He was there, dapping up De'Aaron Fox on the broadcast. Did you catch that?
I didn't. I saw some fan captured videos.
This was on the TV broadcast. Mm-hmm. And Hamm, hey, what's up, big dog? How you doing, big dog? Yeah. I was like, okay, I see you, Hamm.
Somebody hates that somewhere. I got to be honest with you, which is spectacular. It's fine with me. But go ahead.
But what have you heard, if anything, about Domas and how close he may be to coming back? Is he, I think, James, Dame, you said they did a workout yesterday, so he's on the court. Is hopefully, are we seeing him later this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think basically they cleared him for full contact on I want to say Saturday, and so he did participate in some sort of workout. He didn't travel with the team to LA, neither did Monk, though. They wanted to let them, you know, sort of get the rest. But they put Domas out of both of these games, like on Saturday, where they left the door open for Monk to play tonight. And from what I can tell, they're just trying to buy him as much time as possible. There was, you know, conversations that he really wanted to play on Friday. And then, you know, again, over the weekend, you know, the Sunday, Monday games. But once you get past tonight's game, they don't play till Thursday. So you're buying him an extra, you know, 3 days of rest and recovery. And you just want to get him right, because the last thing you want is for him to have another setback. And hamstrings are just notoriously that way. You've got to worry that, you know, he gets back on the court, he gets going, and then 2 minutes into his first stint on the court, you know, he pulls it again or strains it again. And then you're having like maybe another 3 or 4 week setback. So you've got to be cautious. And I think they have been cautious. And let's be honest, he definitely wants to make sure he plays 65 games this year, because everybody and their dog are dropping out of the all NBA race.
It's a shame what happened to those dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, even LeBron is going to have a difficult time being, I think he has to be back on the court by April 3rd in order for him to make all NBA, to still be available for all NBA. And I don't know if that's going to happen with his groin strain. And yeah, it's kind of an interesting time, but Domas wants to be out there.
Would you, you mentioned him, what'd you think of Friday night's festivities at the Golden One Center and the crowd reaction and in the subsequent game?
I thought it was pretty cool, to be honest with you. I thought everybody did right. I thought the Kings tribute, you know, was like maybe a minute and a half long, 2 minutes. I thought that was perfect. Using his own words, I thought was perfect. His response to the crowd, waving and, you know, kind of giving the heart sign, I thought was great. I thought the standing ovation that the crowd gave him was spectacular. There were some boos during both intros and during that celebration, during the tribute video, but they were overwhelmingly overshadowed by the cheers. And I know some people, you know, like fight me on this on Twitter, like, oh, you know, there were a ton of boos. Like, well, there might have been a ton of people booing around you with your group of people, but overall, the building celebrated De'Aaron Fox both on at intro time and during the tribute video. And then when the ball was on the court and he touched the ball, they booed him like incessantly the entire game. And to me, that's the perfect way, is to voice your displeasure because you don't play here anymore, but also celebrate the fact that he was there for a long time. And I thought Fox was like in pregame, he was all smiles. Again, I went over and just said hi and you know, thanked him for being a pro for 7.5 years of coverage. And it's something that I typically do with players that leave earlier in the season. Same thing with Harrison Barnes. But I think that just like it was handled well, the post game.
And it's official. 3:51. Hammer quits. 3:51. James freezes. He's going to thaw out here in just a moment, and he is going to be angry. There he is.
Hi, everybody. I'm back.
That was a good one.
That's a good late game freeze right there, Hammer. That's a good late game freeze right there. I continue. If I don't even
he said remember. The post game. He was talking about the post game. I guess maybe his press conference post game, maybe?
Well, no, the post game press conference was gross, to be honest with you, and it wasn't because of him. The visiting media room is like this little tiny bunker room, and it's super small, and it was packed with people, and it was way too much, and it smelled, and it was like, no. I did go in. I was there for it, but like snuck into the back, and like I didn't ask a question. It was just like overwhelming. People had been waiting in there for like 30 or 40 minutes because Fox was, who is notoriously late to postgame, was notoriously late. But then I'd also say like the on-court stuff in postgame with him going and saying goodbye to everybody, him, you know, or hello to everybody, whether it was, you know, the Domas awkward, like, awkward hug, that was a little weird. But scowl and, you know, even the Malik Monk stuff, some of the coaches that he's been with for a long time, the training staff and everything else, that it was just a cool night to celebrate a player who, you know, to be honest, was your best player for close to a decade, and it happens.
And more importantly,
you beat him.
Kings won. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He looked like crap. So
he did. He told Sean Cunningham he hadn't hit a shot in 2 weeks.
Like, oh,
he's like, yeah. He's like, did it affect you? He's like, no, not really. I haven't hit a shot in 2 weeks, dude. It's like, yeah, that's what the numbers say, too. Yeah.
Next girlfriend, not so hot, huh? All right. That was good. That was a lot like Tyrese's first game back.
Yeah.
Tyrese really struggled his first game back.
They beat their...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did. They beat
the crap out of them, too.
Yeah, they did. They did. You feel good about tonight? What do you, I think the last time, I mean, there's probably some parallels between this game and the Nuggets game that they kind of blew in the fourth quarter. They had a great response to that game. I know you're a little leery, Casey. I think they respond tonight. I don't know if that means they win or lose, but I think they'll be ready to play at 7:30.
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is an effort tonight. Again, I don't know if that means win or lose. Like, this is a tough game. We played major minutes last night. Again, Jake LaRavia might not play tonight. We don't know yet. He's questionable. That's going to be one of those things where you need everybody that you have healthy out there playing. And so it could be a little tough. But overall, you know, I would expect them to at least be in this game. It's just that, you know, the Knicks have some crazy firepower. It's one of the best offenses in the league. They're a mid-tier defensive team, but they do have just really bad matchups for you. I think Cat's a bad matchup. I think Josh Hart's a bad matchup. I think OG and Mikal Bridges, you only have one Keegan Murray. So one of those guys is going to be a bad matchup. But overall, this is it's a game that it's going to be tough, and they're scuffling a bit. They're 0-3 over the last three games. They're on a really long road trip, or they're playing most of their games over this, like, maybe 3 week stretch on the road. This is a good time to get the Knicks without Jalen Brunson. But also I think it's a good time to get the Kings coming off an overtime loss in LA, that, you know, they had to fly home from.
Great stuff from our man, James Hand. We got Purple and Black coming up here later on. Nope, no Purple and Black. Jesse told me to go straight to hell. That's what I get for trying to promote something. And Jesse's like, no, jackass, we don't have it. So we're just going to leave. We're going to go to 102.5 if you want to go over there and listen to some music. And we will be back here beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders. Colin James here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.